you from the state of Alabama to the state of Alabama. And we appreciate you spending as much time as you're able with us this morning, this Thursday, January 14, 2021. Obviously, lots to discuss out of Washington, and we'll get into that momentarily. I will get into an issue that we talked about this a little bit yesterday. Someone tipped me off, a resident of unincorporated Shelby County down in South Shelby, you know, the Lay Lake, Shelby area, you know, those areas that aren't Columbiana or Wilsonville, et cetera. They've got an issue going on that has reached a fever pitch, and we saw it yesterday with discussion of the Shelby County emergency response team and whether or not it would remain voluntary or in terms of payment, or if they would force the residents of these unincorporated areas to pay. We'll talk about that next hour. But right now, I want to turn our attention back to Washington, D.C. with our next guest. It's always good to welcome back Gary Palmer to the show. Always good to get his insight as he sees it from D.C. back to Alabama. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Gary Palmer, John, you don't know this because you weren't in the room, but Gary Palmer has formally thrown his hat into the ring to be our next part-time news anchor. Would that not be cool?
That would be awesome.
I think he's doing it just to get me to be quiet about it because those announcements are running so often on the airwaves. Gary, we'd love it.
He'd have the inside scoop.
I mean, he would.
D.C. Wow.
Get all the big guests on. Mm. You know, on the news. We'll take it under advisement. There's a long line in front of you though, Gary. So, gonna be worried about that.
Yeah, but how many radio stations could say they have a member of Congress as their part-time news anchor? I know some people in D.C. that it would drive them crazy.
I don't know if that would be. I don't think that would be very good for you. That you would have to go around the 6th congressional district and explain why you're now a member of the quote-unquote media. Not so good.
Well, if I wanted to make my job a little bit more dangerous, that'd be the way to do it.
Well, it's dangerous enough as it is. I guess this is the first time you and I have seen one another since the events of January 6th. I know we've talked, and you've expressed the frustration, really the uncertainty. You have been through very dangerous situations in Washington, D.C., and I know you're a man, a faithful person, a man of God, and you just kind of trust. You have to trust. But I asked you the question via the phone the other day, and I want to bring it back up again. Just walk us through the emotions of not knowing necessarily what the heck was going on within the U.S. Capitol.
Well, you start trying to evaluate what your options are. Like, say, as I was there on the floor, I was sitting there with Mike Johnson from Louisiana and Jim Jordan of Ohio talking about what we wanted to do in the debate. And they're slamming doors shut, trying to get them locked. People are banging on the doors. And it was pretty much chaos. And then they started telling everybody to get the gas mask out. I heard what I thought was tear gas canisters going off. It may have been them breaking out the windows to the door, the main door to the floor. But I think it was the tear gas because I could smell it. And I thought under the circumstances, the Capitol Police did the best they could. They were undermanned. I've got some serious questions about why they weren't reinforced early that morning. I think there was information that would have indicated the need for that.
Just a point of clarity, who's in charge of the Capitol Police?
Well, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, they all report to her.
So she would have been the one to make the call with her team that they needed more presence with regard to what was going on that day and what was going on in the National Mall, et cetera, and some of the reports that you're talking about?
Well, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything. I just know that that morning between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, I had to go off the hill to make a call down to the Republican National Committee. And when I walked out from my office building, which is a block and a half from there, from the Republican National Committee office, there were police vehicles all over the place on First Street. And I saw a U.S. Marshal walk by. And I've never seen a U.S. Marshal in D.C. And they don't show up for protest. And my first thought was, there's a bomb or something. And so I go down to the RNC, and the building was locked up. And I knocked on the door, and the security guys came to the door. They're private, so they're not in that network with police. They didn't know what was going on. Turns out that there was a bomb. And if they knew that then, knowing that there was a group of people gathering later that day, already gathering, and it turns out there was a bomb at the Democrat National Committee. There was a bomb, at least one, maybe two, at the Capitol. And, Matt, I don't understand why they didn't immediately reinforce the Capitol Police.
You know, we examined the events of that day and how some within the crowd that came to Washington, D.C. clearly came for confrontation. It's so unfortunate that you have those individuals, regardless of their motivation or political affiliation. We do know now, just based on what I've seen over the last week, that the majority of these individuals inside of the Capitol were supporters of the president and reportedly supporters of his agenda. I thought the president's address yesterday was very appropriate. You know, we can argue maybe should it have been several days prior, but certainly appropriate. And he very clearly stated that, you know, if you support violence of any sort, you don't support me. If you agree with what happened at the U.S. Capitol, and I'm paraphrasing him, then you don't agree with my agenda, and you're not on my team, and you're not on, you have no conception of what we've been trying to do over the last several years, and I'm certain that you stand behind the statement the president made yesterday.
I do. I wish he'd made it much sooner, but. And I think 99.9% of those people who gathered that day to hear him, who came to support him, are good people. They're peaceable people. But we had information that there was a group gathering in Lincoln Park that morning, that it was clear that's not what they came for, because there all those people had instructions to bring their bulletproof vest with the plates in them, their helmets, their shields, to bring their weapons, even meals ready to eat, and 3 liters of water. That's not generally what you bring to a peaceful protest. And that information was out ahead of that. And I know that they gathered there because one of my colleagues' staff was right, runs in the morning, ran right by and saw him. So I think there's a lot of questions that have got to be answered about who knew what and when they knew it, and why they didn't take appropriate action to reinforce the Capitol Police.
Which leads us to yesterday. Let's take a quick time out and talk about yesterday with the impeachment vote and what is planned to be the subsequent trial in the Senate after the inauguration, which for the life of me, I don't understand why the Democrats are planning on ruining Joe Biden's first 100 days. But you know what? That's their business, not necessarily mine. We'll continue the conversation with Gary Palmer momentarily as we continue on Talk 99.5. And I continue to remind you about Hemp Hill Services and the great job that they do. Since 1954, this family-owned company has been servicing Birmingham and the surrounding communities. What a great job they do. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Adam, Andrew, Chad, and the rest of the crew, and I've had them out on multiple occasions, not only for my plumbing needs, also, of course, for heating and AC. If your heat goes out, what do you do? Well, it's hard to stop a train, and they're an authorized train dealer, and they can replace it, but they never will do that until they examine thoroughly your situation, and they give you the information. They say, okay, your system is X number of years old. This is what's going on. This is the benefit of replacing it. This is what we can do to repair it. Let us know what you'd like us to do, and they go from there. Hemp Hill Services, 229-2090. That's 229-2090. Call Hemp Hill for all of your heating and AC and plumbing needs.
How many times must I tell you, baby? How many bridges I've got to cross? How many times must I explain myself? Or I can talk to the boss.
All right, a few more moments with Gary Palmer, an abbreviated visit. He's a busy man this morning. We've got him for about seven more minutes or so, so we're going to get right to it on Talk 99.5. Impeachment yesterday. Before I get to impeachment yesterday, I want you to address this real quick because I think this is very important, and it has to do with January 6th. You and I have talked for a long time about the Democrats. In the political arena, they have a tendency of, if they think they have a winning hand, they overplay it. And frankly, there are far too many people that looked as to how to take advantage of what happened on January 6th in Washington. It's shameful, in my opinion. I have a list, and this isn't all of them. Representative Mickey Sherrill of New Jersey, Val Demings of Florida, Jim Clyburn of South Carolina, AOC of New York, and Swalwell, California, all have either insinuated or out and out said that Republicans had prior knowledge of this attack and helped coordinate it. Reconnaissance missions. It is, I don't have the words to describe this. I just respond to the fact that your colleagues are accusing fellow members of the House of Representatives of having prior knowledge of this attack on the Capitol.
Anyone that says that should be censured. It won't happen because they have the majority. But they're, instead of trying to come together so that we can govern, they're promoting disunity. They're promoting more violence. You think about that. You think about members of Congress accusing other members of Congress of planning an attack on the U.S. Capitol. They're accusing us of treason.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
They're accusing us of insurrection. And it makes me think that there might be something else being covered up here, you know, deflect and deceive. But the American people are smarter than that. That's you say that the old saying is the devil always overplays her hand. Well, I also think that they grossly underestimate the intelligence of the average American, and I think that's what they're underestimating is the American people are smarter than this. Now, at the same time, I think the American people have got to realize that a lot of the stuff that's out there that they're seeing in social media, a lot of it gets sent to me. Is disinformation. If it sounds too wild to be true, I promise you, it's too wild to be true. So just everybody needs to pay attention to what's going on, hear what we have to say about what happened and what we need to do going forward, and stick with us. The future of the country is literally at stake.
Well, and if you combine the two concepts, one, and this is a step way further than just normal political debate. I mean, you guys get very aggressive in your positions, differing positions between Democrats and Republicans. This is a direct attack on character. And like you say, it's a direct accusation of treason.
Exactly. And again, the American people need to wake up.
Well, and it leads us to the impeachment process mm-hmm. from yesterday, where the Democrats seized the opportunity to, because they have the majority, impeach the president, accusing him of a call to insurrection. I don't know how you do this in the Senate, because the Senate has plainly said that we're not taking this up until after Donald Trump leaves office. I don't know if there's any precedent whatsoever to try a former president. I would think that the Constitution or at least the Supreme Court would have some say in the validity of any of this. Secondarily, why, from a political perspective, I mean, that's the legal perspective, from a political perspective, if you're Joe Biden, do you not have the strength to go to Chuck Schumer and say, hold on a second, I need that first 100 days, you know, regardless of what we think of his policies, that's his go zone, and they're going to destroy that with some trial about Trump.
Well, first of all, the president was denied due process. The normal process for impeachment in the House is to start in the Judiciary Committee, and you could have joint jurisdiction as they did the first time with oversight and in that case, intel, which made no sense. But he didn't get that. There was no ability to provide a defense. And basically, they grossly exaggerated what was said at the rally. The president did not call for insurrection. The worst thing he said was to lead people to believe that Mike Pence could constitutionally not accept the electors from certain states, and that's just not true. And when he accepted Arizona, that's when everything started. But to take this further into a trial in the Senate, it is about one thing, Matt. They're fearful that this guy could run again in 2024 and get reelected, and they're trying to destroy him right now. And I think what they're going to wind up doing is destroying themselves. So, you know, the old saying, when someone, your enemy, is about to commit suicide, let them.
That's right.
I don't know necessarily agree with that right now, because it is doing such great harm to the country. And people are so divided right now at a time when we have so many things that we hold in common that we need to be working on. But when you have members like Mickey Sherrill saying the kind of things that they're saying, they're pushing for more.
And
division.
By the way, because there are no public tours of the Capitol right now due to COVID,
mm-hmm.
Gary, I have personal experience with a congressman taking constituents on a private tour of the Capitol during off times, down times. I met Steve Scalise one day in the halls of the Capitol, thanks to a private tour that was being conducted by, congressmen do this for their constituents all the time. So any suggestion that, the leap that they're making is disgusting to me.
It is, and it is extremely dangerous. And but again, I want to emphasize that the Trump base and the Republican base have got to stick together. This is all about trying to divide us. The moderate Republicans have got to stick with us, because the future of the country is literally at stake.
Gary, thank you on short notice for swinging by. We appreciate you. I know you've got a busy morning. Take care, my friend.
Great to see you.
Here's Gary Palmer, Congressman, 6th District. We'll continue the conversation coming up momentarily. It's 25 after the hour. Right now, Valerie Vining, she's got a batch of first news.
You're unbelievable.
Talk99.5.com. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We're jumping around like a box of frogs today, okay? You ever held a box of frogs, John Bird? Don't lie.
Not a box, just one.
Okay. In your pocket.
In my hands.
Impress the girls when you were, you know, go to school. Show them the frog. Let Froggy jump around. Froggy. Never mind.
Yeah, that was me.
Uh-huh. Thursday, January 14th. Thank you for being out there. The sun comes up and you wake up, and we appreciate you being here this morning. I appreciate Gary Palmer spending some time with us as well. We'll bounce around from subject matter to subject matter. When the Democrats say unity, they mean bow before us. More on that. More on all of these Democrats accusing Republicans of treason. My God in heaven, this is where we've come. You talk about rabid, nonsensical. Hey, where's the CNN crawl? Where's the CNN crawl for this crap? You know how they would do, Donald Trump claims without evidence that blah, 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 blah. Well, all of these Democrat politicians are claiming without evidence that Republicans were in on this coup. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right, there is a get-together tonight in Wilsonville. I want to say it's at the Baptist Church. My next caller will know. Regarding South Shelby County and unincorporated parts of South Shelby County and their emergency response service. Now, we talked about this a little yesterday, and this is a subject that should be of interest to all of you. And I understand you're up in Trussville, you're over in Tuscaloosa, you're in Oneonta, wherever, you know, down in Chilton County, and you're thinking, Murphy, this has nothing to do with me. Well, it does. This is government at the ground level. And I'm curious where the Shelby County Commission is on this. I'm curious where local representation, people like Senator Jim McClendon, is on this, because I don't hear from them. And I should. Here's the backstory. Right now, you have an organization, the Shelby County Emergency Response Service, that is responsible for responding to 911 calls in unincorporated parts of South Shelby County, you know, around Columbiana, around Wilsonville, those areas down on Lay Lake. Currently, they get a certain amount of money from Columbiana. I think it's $60,000, around $10,000 from Wilsonville, maybe $11,000, $8,000 from Shelby County. I don't know why that number is so low. I'd like to find out. And then the rest of the money that they use to operate in South Shelby County is from volunteer donations. And they say they're not getting enough volunteer donations. The donation point is only at about 6%. And they have to get more money into the system. They don't have enough money to run the ambulances and the trucks that they run. And so a group got together and they formed a temporary board, and they petitioned a judge to give them an opportunity to allow a vote. And now South Shelby County is going to vote later on this month to determine whether or not they charge their residents $80 per year currently for this service. And a lot of residents have gotten up in arms. I don't know a lot about it, but I want to learn more. Jeannie Mixon David is with us on the line, and it's my understanding she was at one of the meetings regarding this issue, and she's going to give her perspective. Jeannie, good morning. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, Matt. Thank you for having me. I appreciate your time.
No doubt. It's a subject that intrigues me, and this is ground level politics that probably affects people far more than anything that's happening in Washington, D.C., at least in South Shelby County. Tell us how you became aware of the situation, and just give us an overview of your experience.
Sure, I'll try to be quick. I'm pretty good at speaking quickly. I had learned about the situation about 3 days ago on social media, and like a lot of other people, and a lot of it, what you see on social media kind of, you know, it's not very good. I decided to go to one of the meetings. I will go to the meeting this evening. You get so much more information when you go to a meeting and ask questions and hear it from the source. So they have stated that they have done everything that they can, whether county, state, and now have said it is in our hands. So for me, I just, my perspective is, I am one of those that did not receive a donation card. The other night was the first time I had seen a physical card by somebody else that was at the meeting. So 25 people going through the process. We didn't really, the meeting was well ran. Lots of people were allowed to ask questions. The meeting was about 3 hours. They've said it's basically, this is the last resort. This is the last thing. So, unfortunately, we learned that they have also had over 1.2 million in revenue that has been, that wasn't able to be collected. Over $540,000 was write-off. But, you fast forward and it's just, I guess I wonder, after this has been going on for 3 years, how we've gotten to this point where this is the only solution.
Yeah, as I became more and more familiar with the storyline, and I heard from more and more voices from South Shelby County, I hear person after person, resident after resident, telling me that they've never seen a donation card either. And right. I talked to one of the representatives yesterday, Kobe, I forget his last name. He was kind of the lieutenant or one of the...
Assistant chief, yes, sir.
Yeah, assistant chief, that's right. And, you know, he was indicating that, well, we're not getting enough in voluntary donations, therefore we have to do this. And over again, I hear from people who, and they're either not telling the truth or they are, that they don't see, they see the fire and rescue. And part of that, I heard yesterday that you get the donation card for what is called fire and rescue. And this resident said, I thought that's what I was doing when I gave money to the fire and rescue, but apparently I'm only giving money to the fire department. I'm not giving money to the ambulance service.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, but they do. I mean, fire and rescue, yes, that is what our card says. It doesn't say it is for transport services. So it is separate. It's those two things we should. And I have gotten the volunteer where I'm located. There are, 18, I think there are 18 areas. And our District 1 Commissioner, Kevin Morris, and he will speak with anybody. I could message him at, 9 o'clock at night, and he will respond. He has been at all of the meetings. He answers our questions. He is transparent. He did not, from what I understand, he did not realize this was going on or was made aware of it maybe 2 weeks ago, and I don't want to misspeak. But that's my understanding. He's only recently been made aware of what's been going on. So, just looking at it, there's only one form of payment. I believe it's in checks. There's, I've just recently been aware that they have, in the last 2 weeks, had a Facebook page. There is not a donate button on that. I would gladly, I'll gladly pay the $80. I'll gladly make a donation. There's other things with it. Becoming a 501c4, I believe that one thing that was stated the other night, 501c4, and I don't want to misspeak, was brought up that if it is voted in, will become that day. And I've looked into what a 501c4 is, and so you've got things that go along with what that means. And I'm new to all of this, Matt. I'm trying to learn as fast as I can in just a few days, just to be informed so I can make the best decision. But there's a lot of things. I want these guys to have retirement. This goes into that as well. They're not being able to hold employees, their turnover, benefits, and things like that. So I do want these guys, and don't get me wrong, I support them, I am for them, I appreciate them, and I want them to have better pay. I do. I want them to have the retirement, and I think that my understanding is a 501c4 allows them to have a retirement. So there's things like that, I am for it in the right way, going about it the right way. And I think we can as people, we can disagree and be, I'm firm on the problem and, kind on people, but we could have, there's other things that we could do. And at the very least, if I had known in the last 3 years, I'd have started a GoFundMe page. So, people have done less and gotten more, and I think we could have had some exhaust all options. Because a lot of people don't like this, and a lot of people would have, like myself, would step in and help however we can, to where we can fight about the problem instead of fighting with each other.
You were at the previous meeting. Are you going tonight?
Yes, sir. I do plan to. I do have a few questions to ask. A couple people have asked me to, that because of COVID, do not get out. And another person that lives in, has property, but lives a couple cities away, has asked. So the meetings are, hopefully, tonight's meeting will be live streamed. I feel that for transparency, that would be for everybody, benefit everybody to be able to go to see it. And because I don't want to be the one speaking what I feel is the wrap up of the meeting. I'd like for their words to remain their words and to be out there for everybody to hear it.
What is your takeaway so far? If you had to vote today?
We're already looking at an election that has to be paid for. It's you know, with absentee voting going on with that, there's just a lot of questions with that. Elections aren't free, so money's coming from somewhere for that. Matt, I want to be fair. There is things, and obviously in this, that I don't like. There are things that I do, and I don't have enough information.
Man, this is the hardest. This is the hardest question I've asked today, Jeannie. I think you're where a lot of South Shelby County residents are. That you want to be, you need the service. This is where I figured out.
Absolutely.
Almost everyone. I had one guy call me yesterday and say we don't need emergency services, and I said, "Well, what happens if you cut your arm off with a chainsaw? What do you do?"
I heard that part. Yes, I heard that. No, you do call. Whether you decide to call another RPS or another company, you do have that right. Now, whether an RPS was at the meeting, whether they decide to, they did say that they would have to look at the area at Shelby County and see if this does go through, they would have to look at Shelby County and because they are short-staffed and they are, the gentleman said that they're over 9, 10, I don't want to misspeak, I don't know if it's counties or districts or what, but he did say that they would look at Shelby County at that time if this was approved to see, because they are thin just like the state of Alabama. It's a statewide problem. So the RPS service may leave this area. So, people you have to understand that as well. It's not as simple as one thing. But again, I do want to say that I am for the firefighters. I am for the EMS team. For the firefighters, for the volunteer firefighters, this does not affect them either.
Well, I have a number of questions, and I'm new to this, so some of these might be some of these might be neophyte questions. But why is Shelby County not kicking in more money than they are? I mean, it would seem to me that Columbiana kicks in $60,000, Wilsonville kicks in $10,000 or $11,000, and the county only kicks in $8,000. Well, it would seem to me that that's the county's responsibility in these unincorporated areas more than anyone else, and one would think that they would be kicking in more money if they have budget problems, or they would be addressing it on the county commission as opposed to this. I would assume Southeast Shelby EMS isn't that a privately owned business?
It is a privately owned nonprofit, yes.
So it is a nonprofit?
It is.
Which, there are some that are suggesting mismanagement of funds or a lack of funds. We need to know. I mean, I think they owe it to the citizens to explain that. And, it's always incumbent upon those that are asking for more money to well explain it. And I've said this for 20 years, if they don't explain it well enough for you to easily understand it, then the automatic default is to vote no. And that's what's going to happen. It's incumbent upon them to explain why they must have more money. Listen, I hate to do it. I got to run, Jenny. I think it's Jenny. Is it Jenny or Jeannie? I don't know. John Bird didn't help me.
It's Jenny. Jenny?
Is it Jenny or Jeannie?
Jenny. J-E-N-N-Y.
Well, you put I-E on though. It's gone now. It's okay. It's okay, John. I'm not blind. I just didn't know. I didn't know
how
to pronounce her name.
That's another caller.
I just didn't know how to pronounce her name. I hope I haven't offended you, Jenny Jeannie. 48 after the hour. Back in a moment with more of your calls on this and other matters. It's Matt Murphy, Talk 99. A surprise special participant on these airwaves coming up in 9 or so minutes. Be on the lookout for Andrea Lindenthug, the evil twin of the former co-host of this radio show, Andrea Lindenberg. Sounds a lot like her. She'll claim that she's Lindenberg, but it's not true. We'll talk with her coming up in just a moment. Your calls at 545-9950. That's the Birmingham Broker phone line, 545-9950. I'm learning, like you, about the Shelby County Fire District and some of these local matters that affect all of us. I mean, all of us have fire service. All of us have EMS service. This matters. It's your money. You ought to protect it. Lee is next. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Matt, how you doing today?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Great, great. Yeah, so I have two main issues with this proposal. One is a philosophical one, and that is we've gotten into the habit of this country, anytime we come across a problem, the idea is let's tax it or fee it out of existence. And that's not the way this country started out. We didn't start out that way. And I think that there's better solutions than that right there. The other thing is...
Hey, let me stop you real quick. If it's a money problem, do you agree that it's a money problem?
Well, not necessarily, no.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just going on what they've said. And their solution is to tax it out of existence.
Well, right. Their solution is to make what is currently voluntary mandatory.
Right. And it's not even actually voluntary, Matt. That's the other thing. That brings me to the second part. This is a business. And this would be like, you know, Kmart, whenever it was going under, coming after you going, hey, you guys need Kmarts in your neighborhood.
Well, hold on, Lee. I'm not here to defend these guys. I don't know them. But it's a nonprofit, right?
Not? I don't know. See,
well, no, I do. I mean, I've been told by them that it's a nonprofit. So if it's a nonprofit, you ought to be able to look at the books. They ought to have a ledger to demonstrate that nobody's skimming. I would ask that question if I were in Wilsonville tonight.
That hasn't been made available to everybody. You have to excuse me. I'm out on a run.
No, it's all, dude, it's all good. I'm with you.
So anyway, what I'm saying is they are a business. Nonprofit or, you know, whatever, they're still a business. They're not a government agency. And that was the other thing. For years, I operated under the assumption that they were a government agency. But no, they charge you over $1,000 to transport you from this area to the hospital. I know that for a fact. So, and I get it, they're not able to collect on everything, but that goes back to the mismanagement question. If you're not able to collect, find somebody who can do it for you. And if the company that you got isn't able to do it, then find somebody else. And then they say that they've been sending out these mailers, requests for donations. I have seen one that I know of, and that was like 5-6 years ago, maybe even more.
Yeah, that's a significant, and Lee, thank you for the information, and thank you for the call. I appreciate you sharing your opinion. Sorry to rush you, but the music in the background indicates Valerie Vining is along for our first news coming up in moments. So I've been hearing that over and over and over again, that I've never seen a collection card. I've never seen a donation card. Or I would see the Shelby County Fire and Rescue card and think, well, that's EMS. That's rescue, right? Nope, not the same thing. More in a moment, right after this.